The Best in Class podcast continues its in-depth but fast-moving review of every NFL team's draft. Today it is the AFC North clubs, brought to you by Bill Curry Ford. And of course, it's all done by JoeBucksFan.com draft guru Sean Sullivan, taking you through. Here's Sean.
Hi, everybody, and welcome to Best in Class, coming to you live from Bill Curry Ford Studios in Tampa. I am Sean Sullivan, your host. Get ready for the best 30 minutes in football. Very excited. We're doing the AFC North. I'm going to come at you this week and next week with the remaining AFC breakdowns, and then we're going to get into training camp. Very exciting stuff. Lots of training camps opening in July 20th, 25th. It's like some really great stuff. We have the Hall of Fame game on August 1st, so my goodness, guys, it's happening. We're so close. Very excited. So are you worried about paying too much for a new vehicle? Well, don't worry. Drive Curry. With our summer sales event, Bill Curry Ford will beat any advertised price by, yes, $100. Just bring the ad in and show it to our staff. It's that easy. Try to find time to schedule your vehicle for service. Don't worry. Service at Curry. With no charge pickup and delivery and no charge mobile vans, we can perform service from your house or work. If you want to visit, we have 100 loaner vehicles available. Just visit BillCurryFord.com and schedule now. All right, let's jump right into the AFC North. So last year, the Baltimore Ravens finished 13-4. The Browns finished 11-6. The Steelers, another winning record for Mike Tomlin, 10-7. And the Cincinnati Bengals finished at 9-8. Lots of roster changes on these teams, but we're going to discuss the additions of just the rookies. And we're going to start with the Baltimore Ravens at pick number 30. So a 13-4 team just got better because they drafted Nate Wiggins out of Clemson. This guy is super physical. I loved him. He plays man. He has amazing speed. He could play press. Man, obviously just talked about that. I know he's on the smaller side, but man, he plays with a chip on his shoulder. He plays with power and aggressiveness. He's extremely well coached. I think at 30, again, we talked about this class being one of the best defensive backs classes for depth. My goodness, you got a starting corner at 30. He's going to play alongside Marlon Humphrey and Kyle Hamilton, which if you remember Kyle Hamilton, I was really big on at the safety position. Guess what? He made his first Pro Bowl. So congratulations to Kyle Hamilton. You're a star. Called it here on Best in Class. And Nate Wiggins, you are going to be a difference maker immediately for the Baltimore Ravens. Moving on to their next pick, which was pick 62, which was Roger Rosengarten out of Washington. So obviously, I think he's going to play right tackle. I think that he's going to start right away for the Ravens. I think he's going to hit the gym. I think he's probably already in the gym, putting on really good weight, putting on really good muscle, getting ready for minicamp. He is a tough, tough guy. You know, you can almost tell by a man's name how tough he is, right? Rosengarten, right? Like, that just sounds like he's a tough guy. So, obviously, played in the national championship game for Washington. He played extremely well against a really good Michigan line. I believe that he starts for Baltimore right away. I know he's picked in the second round, pick 62. I think he steps right in at right tackle, gets all the snaps. But that's what minicamp is for, and I'm very excited about that. With their third pick, they took Edge Adisa Isaac out of Penn State. Penn State loaded with defensive talent. As you know, the Bucks were linked to several Penn State players. And, you know, this is where it's really interesting. This is a guy that was one of the best pass rushers in football, generated 13 sacks, 69 pressures last year, dominated in run defense, which would make Todd Bowles happy. He was at 12% run stoppage percentage, which was fourth amongst all college pass rushers. I think what he's going to do is he fell to third round because of his size. His size is what it is. But what you can't teach is the passion to get to the quarterback. There's a lot of guys that are fast and big. We have one for the Bucks, Joe Tryon. Joe Tryon, if he went back in the draft right now, would still be a first-round draft pick because they wouldn't know what he's doing in the NFL. I'm talking about just based on his measurables. Height, weight, speed. He has one of the best first steps in football, but he doesn't finish. You can't teach that. It just you either have it or you don't. This guy, Isaac, seems to really have what it takes. And so far, I'm so impressed with the Ravens right now. So a 13-4 team comes back and gets Nate Wiggins, who I think gets snaps right away. It could be the starting nickel, but if he's not starting, he's going to take up 50% of the snaps. And Rosengarten is going to start, I think, for Baltimore. And Adisa Isaac out of Penn State, he's going to be in the rotation. Their fourth-round pick is a guy, a very, very underrated wide receiver. This is pick 113, guys, in the fourth round. Devontaez Walker out of North Carolina. This guy's a playmaker. He had 10 receptions on throws of 20-plus yards down the field, which ranked him third in the ACC. He is a big play guy. So if you think about it, they added Flowers, which, again, if you listen to the Best in Class, I picked Flowers to be my sleeper wide receiver. I said, no one, everyone's sleeping on him. I'm going to be doing a fantasy football podcast because I'm being asked to do it for rookies. And, you know, obviously Flowers was my was one of my number one sleepers. He is a tremendous talent for Baltimore. He is a star player for Baltimore. Well, guess what they did? They added a guy in Devontaez Walker, very similar to Flowers. I really think Baltimore's onto something with these guys. You get the ball in their hand, let Lamar get the ball in their hand, and let them make plays. I think you're going to see him make an impact his rookie year. And another fourth-round pick they had was a guy that was linked to Tampa Bay and TJ Tampa. I know about the Tampa thing. I get it. Out of Iowa State. This was a corner that plays very Todd Bowles-type defense. That's why he was linked to the Bucs, and we needed an outside corner. So he's highly skilled. You can use him in zone or single coverage. He basically called the defensive plays from the defensive back position at Iowa State. Very, very smart guy. Solid against the run. I think he's a very physical corner. I like physical corners. I like them better than finesse corners, obviously. I mean, Christian Gonzalez was probably my favorite finesse corner. The Patriots drafted him, and he was on to a solid rookie year when he got hurt. He was my number one guy last year. I think you're going to see Christian Gonzalez become a star for the Patriots. But I'm really not into those finesse guys. TJ Tampa is another physical corner like Nate Wiggins, who's very, very impressive. In the round five, Rasheen Ali out of Marshall, he's a running back. He had a 1,100-yard rushing season. In 2021 through 2023, he had 69 rushes of 10 yards or more. He's just a depth guy behind Derrick Henry. And they also, don't forget, have Keaton Mitchell. Again, Baltimore is a run offense, and they just, every year it seems like they add another running back just for depth, Jason Light. In the sixth round, QB Devin Leary out of Kentucky. There are people that were really high on him. To me, he's a very streaky guy. I mean, I think he's a backup, obviously, in the NFL. I think, man, I'm really torn on Devin Leary. Like, can he back up Lamar Jackson? I think Baltimore needs some savings in the quarterback backup position. I mean, I think there's a chance for him. But right now, I'm just leaning towards practice squad player that he's not going to be the backup. But we'll see. I just didn't find him to be very consistent. In the seventh round, they got a steal. They got center Nick Simak out of Michigan State. He only allowed one sack and 13 pressures on 345 blocking attempts. So this is what I'm talking about, guys. You can get centers late in the draft that can start for you that are really good. This guy has the size. He's a run mauler. Like I said, he only gave up one sack and 345 blocking reps. If you believe in grades, he never had a negative grade from PFF, if that's something that you pay attention to. I don't. I do and I don't. I do listen to how they rank players, but their grades are graded by people who are not scouts. So it's very difficult for me to get into the grades, and I get that. I personally don't grade players. I can tell you who I think are going to be great and who I don't, just based on watching film. But again, I don't talk to them. I don't know their personalities. But I can tell you that this guy is a tough guy. And in the seventh round, he makes the Baltimore Ravens. So this center, write it down, he makes the Baltimore Ravens. In the other seventh round, Sanusi Kane out of Purdue is a safety. I think this guy's just a special teams guy, practice squad player. So recapping the Baltimore Ravens, who went 13-4, division winners last year, they got Nate Wiggins, who's probably going to start. Roger Rosengarten, right tackle, he's definitely starting. So two starters. Isaiah Isaac out of Penn State, I think he breaks into some rotation with some snaps. Devontaez Walker is a sleeper, guys. Listen to me. If you guys are one of those drafting people who like fantasy football and like to store these rookies when you draft them, Devontaez Walker is a guy you should write down. TJ Tampa is another guy that's going to be worked into the rotation. Rasheen Ali is another backup running back added. Leary has a chance to be a backup. Not super impressed with him, but in the seventh round, getting Nick Semek out of Michigan State, again, another center that you can get late, good size, can play right away. He makes the Baltimore Ravens, and then safety Sanusi Kane. So overall, it looks to me like they have three starters on a team that went 13-4 with possibly two more stealing snaps. So right now, Baltimore's draft is sensational. So the Ravens did it again. Let's go on to the Cleveland Browns, who went 11-6 last year. So they had a second-round draft pick, Michael Hall Jr. out of Ohio State. This is a guy that was highly rated going into Ohio State. He had the second-best pass rush win rate against defensive tackles in the draft. I just think he's so small on the inside, and the Buccaneers drafted a guy that's on the smaller side on the inside, you know, out of Pittsburgh. And when you look at Kancey and you look at his ability to rush the passer, it's unique, and that's what makes Kancey playable. Everyone can tell me how great Kancey is against the run. Watch the tape. Right, he makes terrific plays behind the line of scrimmage, but he gets blocked on a lot of occasions. He's got to get better with his hands. He's got to get more violent with his hands. And then Kancey can be a real difference maker. I think you're going to see Kancey as a double-digit sack guy. Michael Hall Jr., I just don't see him that way. I don't see the fact that he's undersized, that he has anywhere near the pass-rushing skills of Kancey. We'll see. I mean, he is an interior lineman. Miles Garrett's there. Za'Darius Smith is there. Let's just see if he works in the rotation. He's going to have some great coaching with the Browns. The Browns seem to really coach up these defensive guys. I think at 54, he's good value. I just think there were some better players on the board. In round three, guard Zach Zinter out of Michigan. Zinter was one of my absolute favorite players. He had a leg injury that kept him out of the combine. The guy's a starting guard in the NFL. He's just nasty. It makes sense that Cleveland would draft him because he's like one of those guys you could see in the snow, with like his jersey out, just hitting people. Like, that's the kind of guy he is. He is a little stiff. I get that. That's why he was a third-round pick. He's not a first-round draft pick. I just love the way he plays. He's very, very well coached. Again, that Michigan offensive line was very well coached, and Keegan was on that offensive line, who I liked a lot as well. As you know, he was one of my favorites. But Zinter's just another guy. The guy can play center. The guy can play guard. He's a very tough guy. Pick 85, even though he had a leg injury, I think he would have been a second-round draft pick normally. In the fifth round, they picked wide receiver Jermyre Thrash out of Louisville. Here's a guy that's just physically gifted. He had 1,658 yards after the catch, which is the best in all of college football. When you get the ball in his hands and he holds on to it, he can make people miss, and that's for sure. And he can get yards after the catch. I think he's very, very inconsistent. I'm not a big fan of his size, but he does have that big play ability that if in the right situation, he can make some plays for you. In the sixth round, Nathaniel Watson out of Mississippi State, linebacker. This guy in the sixth round, to me, is a special teams player. He is going to be a guy that's going to be a backup linebacker in the NFL. I think that he's just like a physically strong upper body guy that's going to make textbook tackles on running backs. He's not going to give you much in like guarding tight ends. He's not going to give you much in the passing offense. He's not going to rush the passer. He's a throwback linebacker. I think he's going to be a special teams guy. I think he makes the team, but he definitely fits what the Cleveland Browns are trying to do, mentally, physically. Round seven, cornerback Miles Harden out of South Dakota State. This is a guy, to me, is just a training camp guy to see what comes out of it. I'm not a big fan of Miles Harden. Didn't like his competition. I don't like his size very much. Interior defensive lineman Juwan Briggs out of Cincinnati in the seventh round, pick 243. He played out of position last year at Cincinnati, and that was a big deal from when his agent was talking about, let's see what he can do when he's playing in his natural position, interior defensive line for the Browns. He is a guy with good size for that position. He is like a run-stopping guy. We'll see. I don't see any pass rush in him at all, but can he make the team of the Browns? It's a possibility this guy makes the team. But if you go look back at the Browns draft, they didn't really have a lot of great draft picks. They didn't really – the order of their picks, obviously they didn't have a first round. Their second round was 54. They didn't have another third round. They had pick 85. They didn't have any fourth round draft picks. So really – the Cleveland Browns draft for me was very underwhelming, with Michael Hall Jr. in the second round, Zach Zinter coming off a leg injury in the third round, I think is pretty good value. Getting Jermyre Thrash out of Louisville, or Jamari, in the fifth round, I think is good value. For me, Nathaniel Watson, Miles Harden, and Juwan Briggs are just training camp guys, special teams guys. I don't see them making any big difference for the Cleveland Browns. Moving on to the Pittsburgh Steelers, who I think had one of the best drafts in 2024. The Pittsburgh Steelers went 10-7. Again, they had all kinds of quarterback problems, and they tried to solve that in the offseason with Russell Wilson and Fields. If you guys haven't seen Justin Fields work out in the offseason, he looks very mad. He looks mad at his situation. He is extremely talented franchise guy. If you should go to Google and Google him, look at what he looks like right now. He looks like he put on 10 pounds of muscle. He doesn't look like he has an ounce of fat on him. He looks like he's ready to go. Like, he looks like he's ready to prove everyone you know, that he's one of the best quarterbacks in the NFL. I just think he was very misused at Chicago. I don't feel like I'm wrong on Justin Fields. I think he has a. I think he's going to show people what he can do with Pittsburgh. I don't know what Russell Wilson has. I mean, if you think about it, he's getting paid $45 million to play for someone else. That's what the Broncos are paying. They're saying, we want you to leave so bad, we're going to pay $45 million of your salary so you don't play for us. I don't know what that means other than he must really not be very good. Mike Tomlin came out and spoke very highly of Russell Wilson, so maybe it was the offense between Peyton. I'm not a Sean Payton fan, but maybe it was, for all you guys who listen to the podcast, know that I wish him nothing but the worst. So I don't know if it was his offense or maybe Russell Wilson is done, but I think Justin Fields has a chance here. But let's go through the draft. Let's just talk about a 10-7 team that drafts extremely well every year, continues to draft Pittsburgh Steelers, and continues to win and not have losing seasons. All right, with the Steelers in the first round, they at pick number 20, they picked tackle Troy Fontenot out of Washington. This guy is a beast. I watched every play of Washington for obvious reasons. As you know, I study the quarterbacks in great detail. Fontenot is an excellent player. He's going to fit right into the Steelers. I think whether he plays left tackle or left guard, to me, doesn't matter. He's just a beast of a man. I think that he's going to be an instant starter for Pittsburgh. I think they greatly improved their offensive line with Troy Fontenot. Their second-round pick, number 51, was center Zach Frazier out of West Virginia. Here's a guy that was linked to the Bucks. Ira Coffin was really high on this guy because he was a four-time wrestling state champion. He is a beast. So between Fontenot and Frazier, the Pittsburgh Steelers says, this is our identity. We're going to be very aggressive and strong and big, and we're going to be beating you up on the offensive line. Like, we're going to play in snow, we're going to play in wind, we're going to play in domes, it doesn't matter. You're going to know you played the Pittsburgh Steelers. This is Tomlin's, like, calling card. This is why he's been so successful. Like, he finds these guys, but like Fontenot and Frazier. Frazier is going to start for the Steelers. Fontenot is going to start for the Steelers. These guys are difference makers. Then they come back in the third round at pick 84 and pick Roman Wilson out of Michigan. Roman Wilson was one of my most underrated wide receivers, if you listen to Best in Class Wide Receiver Breakdown. He is effortless with great hands. I think they finally found a guy that's got class, right? Roman Wilson's is a little different than what they've drafted in the past at wide receiver, where he's talented, but he's also has no off-the-field issues. He's a coachable guy. All of his interviews came out that he was one of the best interviews that everyone had in the offseason. He easily goes in there and replaces Deontay Johnson right away. I think Roman Wilson is a steal at pick 84, and I think the Pittsburgh Steelers are going to love his leadership ability. They're going to love his professionalism, and the fact that he only had one drop in 67 targets last year. I mean, he really made a difference in J.J. McCarthy's life. And congratulations. Then they come back in the third round at pick number 97 and get one of my absolute favorite players of the entire draft, Peyton Wilson. I don't care about his ACLs. I don't care about his injuries. I don't care about his shoulder injuries. This man is a beast. If you watch him film, which I do, you watch Peyton Wilson play, right, at NC State. Watch him play linebacker. Just go right now to Google. Stop my podcast. Watch Peyton Wilson play, then come back to my podcast. I'm telling you, he is unbelievable. He hits you and hits you and then hits you again. He is unbelievable. The reason why he has these injuries is because he gives every bit of himself to the game. He is smart, intelligent, physical. If this guy can stay healthy at pick 97, Peyton Wilson, to me, if he was a healthy guy, would have been a top 15 pick in the draft. That's how good of a talent this man is. They got him in the third round, pick 97. They got Fontenot, Frazier, Wilson, and then Peyton Wilson with their first four picks. You cannot believe how good that is, how much better the Pittsburgh Steelers just got. In the fourth round, they come back and get a guy that was linked to the Bucks because of Jason Light with Mason McCormick. He is the guard out of South Dakota State. This guy is a mean person. I don't know if he, like, pushes kids down or what, or like, knocks ice cream out of kids' hands or, like, punches clowns. I don't know what this guy does. I do know he's very, very mean, and he plays that way on the field. This guy is a tremendous pickup for the Pittsburgh Steelers. Listen to what they did to their line. Fontenot, Frazier, and now McCormick. They got big. They got physical. They got angry. They got wrestlers. I mean, they got, like, clown punchers. These guys, they got glass eaters. This is no joke. they have said enough with the offensive line. They're going to run the ball this year, and they're going to have better quarterback play. In the sixth round, they went interior defensive line with Logan Lee out of Iowa. Not a big fan of Logan Lee. I think in the sixth round, I mean, he's okay. He's just a guy that can play the gap and can play the run, right? I think he's a developmental player. Sixth round, pick 195, Ryan Watts out of Texas, corner. I like him a lot. Great size. He allowed only one touchdown and 267 coverage snaps. Very physical guy. Plays the run. In the sixth round, pick 195. What a draft for corners. I mean, we're talking about cornerbacks and wide receivers because they're difference-making franchise guys. But my goodness, the corners that came out of this draft. Pick number 195, you got Ryan Watts. This guy has a lot of potential, and he's another glass eater. He's another guy that plays angry. Let me just walk back through the Pittsburgh Steelers. Fontenot, Frazier, Roman Wilson, Peyton Wilson, Mason McCormick, Logan Lee, and Ryan Watts. That, to me, guys, that's what winning football looks like, and that's what winning organizations look like. This is one of the best drafts that I have seen in a very long time. Pick after pick after pick. Not only do they fit the scheme, they're also the best player on the board. Congratulations to the Pittsburgh Steelers. Congratulations to Mike Tomlin. You guys have just in one offseason rebuilt the Pittsburgh Steelers, and you guys won 10 games last year. It's just an unbelievable job. Congratulations. Moving on to the Bengals. The Bengals were 9-8 last year. Their first round draft pick 18, Amarius Mims out of Georgia. Obviously, the Cincinnati Bengals. When have the Cincinnati Bengals not tried to address their offensive line? Has it been 5 years already that Burrow's been in the NFL? 5 seasons? Isn't it like every time we go into the offseason, the Cincinnati Bengals are either signing an offensive lineman or drafting an offensive lineman? It just doesn't stop. Amarius Mims, great guy. He's gigantic. He looks bigger than all the other offensive linemen for sure. He moves pretty well. Had a lot of injuries at Georgia. He only allowed 6 quarterback pressures in his entire career. Trent Brown, I know, is there right now. Amarius Mims probably is going to take his job very, very soon. Amarius Mims is no joke. The Cincinnati Bengals said, you know what, let's just get the biggest possible guy we can put in there. In the second round, they picked an interior defensive lineman, Chris Jenkins, out of Michigan. I think he was the best player in his position in the draft. What a great pickup. According to the combine, he's the strongest player coming into the NFL, which I thought was really interesting. Played at Michigan for Harbaugh, very well coached. You know, he has short arms. That's a problem. But again, very powerful guy, can get up the field, is going to stop the run. He's going to be a leader on defense. He's going to pass rush a little. Chris Jenkins is the real deal, guys. The Cincinnati Bengals went, we're going to improve our offensive and defensive lines drastically, and they did with Mims and Jenkins. And they went with a wide receiver in the third round, Jermaine Burton, a guy I did a lot of studying out of Alabama. I think this guy's extremely underrated. Another guy like Roman Wilson that I think is going to be an instant impact guy in the NFL. For those of you guys who are doing the fantasy rookie drafts, Jermaine Burton's another guy to look at. The problem with this guy is something that I don't know about. He doesn't interview well. He's not a very nice guy. What I watch on the field, he is explosive. He can catch the ball down the field. He can find the ball, which I find it fascinating that a lot of receivers, they do all these amazing routes or whatever. They never look back for the ball. They miss the ball. So Jermaine Burton is one of those guys that can track the ball extremely well. It's like he always knows where the ball is, what shoulder it's on, where it's coming from, and he's still running his route. But if you think about Jamar Chase and T. Higgins was re-signed, right? Then you add Jermaine Burton. That offense is going to be kicking. They added another interior defensive lineman in McKinley Jackson at Texas A&M. Pick 96, 3 technique. He's a gap penetrator guy, stops the run. Very similar, doesn't have the length, but absolutely can destroy the run. So if you think about McKinley Jackson and you think about Chris Jenkins, the Cincinnati Bengals made a concentrated effort to get better at stopping the run. I guess that's what they feel there's an issue. In the fourth round, they picked Eric All out of Iowa. And this guy can do it all. I know, right? That was my pun for the day. I loved him. I wanted the Bucs to draft him. You know, he had an ankle injury that pushed him down a little bit. But here's a guy in Eric All that I think makes an impact for the Bengals. In the fifth round, Josh Newton is a corner out of TCU, one of this great quarterbacks class. Out of 413 coverage snaps, he allowed just one touchdown. Good speed, good range, can play press man, can play zone. I like him in both. Very well coached guy, smart guy. I think he works into the rotation. They went back to the tight end in the round six. This is a sleeper tight end from Mel Kiper in Tanner McLaughlin out of Arizona. Mel Kiper said that he's one of the best targets in college football. He didn't drop a single pass, not one single pass, as a starting tight end for Arizona. That's insane. Not one pass did he drop. He had four touchdowns last year. Mel Kiper's extremely high on him. I watched a lot of his stuff. He reminds me of a better, actually, I shouldn't say better. He reminds me a lot of Sam Laporta as a pass-catching tight end. And I did an entire thing on Sam Laporta last year. If you guys go back and listen to Best in Class Breakdown of Tight Ends, I was really high on Sam Laporta as a receiver. Obviously, I don't have enough film on Tanner to say that he's better as a wide receiver. Obviously, Laporta all around is a better tight end. Laporta is one of the best probably in the NFL already. He's in that conversation. It was a top five, top three guy. This guy, Tanner, though, special hands, very, very special target. In the round six, edge Cedric Johnson at Ole Miss, solid speed combination. He's an edge guy. You just take a run on late in the draft, see if you can make something out of him. Most likely is a project. Seventh round safety, Gianni Anthony out of Ole Miss. Another guy kind of that plays that hybrid position at Ole Miss. He's probably going to be a true safety in the NFL. We'll see if he's a training camp guy. Then center Matt Lee out of Miami. He was ranked 10th out of all centers last year. He didn't allow a single sack on 414 blocking passing attempts. Great size. Does this sound familiar, best-in-class listeners? Another seventh-round center in Matt Lee. We've already talked about the fact that you can get starting centers late in the draft. This guy, Matt Lee, is another guy. Don't sleep on him. I'm telling you right now, this is a guy that you might see in the minicamp starting a lot of games for Cincinnati and going into training camp. He's fighting for that number one center position. But if you go back and you look at what the Bengals did, they upgraded their trenches. And obviously that's what they wanted to do. When they got Amarius Mims, Chris Jenkins, they went out and got McKinley Jackson, another guy in the trenches. And then they went back and got Matt Lee, another guy on the offensive line. So what a draft for Cincinnati. I like a lot of these players depth-wise, but the winner of the AFC North right now is the Pittsburgh Steelers, and they might be the winner of the entire thing because that draft is sensational, and I think you're going to see a lot of the Pittsburgh Steelers players stealing snaps. Well, that concludes the AFC North, so please reach out to me at bestinclass@billcurryford.com with comments and questions. Please leave me reviews on Joe Bucks Fan or Apple Play. Please follow us at Bill Curry Ford Tampa and all the social media sites. You guys know them all. And don't worry, Drive Curry. I'll see you guys next time.